remain standing, if you will. Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. I love that old song we just sang. Amen. Amen. I love it. Thank God that He did all that for me. That was my blessed Redeemer. Amen. Amen. By the way, pray for Brother Shelby. Brother Shelby's not feeling well. That's why they're not here this morning. Pray that the Lord touch him. He's been having some health problems for some time now. Let's pray that God would intervene and touch him there and help him to the Lord's will. Amen. Matthew chapter number 4, and begin reading in verse number 1. Going to read down through verse number 11. Today we're going to focus on the final verse. We've finally gotten there. Amen. And we're going to look at it. If the Lord doesn't change my mind tonight, we'll finish up our study of these verses and see what the Lord has for us as we try to close this chapter of our study, at least, on this for the time being. All right, verse number 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the angel taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." I believe that verse number 10 drew the line. Our Lord says, "You're on that side, I'm on this side. I'm not crossing over, you're not crossing over. Get away." Amen. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. As I said, I'd like to focus primarily on verse number 11. We'll look at some of these together, but primarily verse number 11. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I want to try to preach this morning on the thought, the devil's temporary departure. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Bell, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we again thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here
today. Yes.
Lord, thank you for the Word of God that's already been taught to us.
Thank you, Lord.
And the Sunday school hour, I pray, Lord, for the preaching hours. Brother Shepherd stands and
proclaims help
the
us,
Word
oh
of God
Lord.
That you lay upon his heart. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to learn thy Word, as was mentioned in the Sunday school, and be ever learning of the doctrines that are taught therein that we
yes.
might teach others. As also was mentioned there in Sunday school, yes. as well, be with those that are sick and afflicted, not with us. Pray that you'll
yes,
bring healing and health,
he
and raise
help
them up,
Lord.
Bring them back to our assembly. We ask and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, as we said, this nearing the end of our study, Lord willing, tonight may very well be the last message that we have. I'm going to tie up some loose ends, just look over an overview of it tonight by the help of the Lord. And today we're looking at this last verse. We've looked, this is the final temptation. We're still in that. There's three that are told. I've said it again and again. I don't believe this is all the temptation that came to our Lord, but these three are representative of the powerful things that the devil offered. I do believe that these are on that last day of those that 40-day fast, that last day the devil came, having expended all of his imps and all of his emissaries, that they could not accomplish what he wanted to be done. So he came that he might maybe tighten it up a little bit. And he came to personally endeavor to tempt our Lord. And yet he failed as well. And I'm so glad that he did fail. Amen. But we looked at just a week or so ago as we started this last temptation look, that we saw the proposal that Satan made unto the Lord and the splendor that was involved in all that was offered. We noticed the audacity of the request. I mean, the only thing that excelled the splendor of all the world's kingdoms and the glory thereof was that the devil had the audacity to say, "You bow down to me and worship me," when it should have been the other way around. Amen. But we noticed also the claim that Satan made, as he claimed that he had that power, he held all that power, and could give it to whomsoever that he wished. And then we jumped ahead to some verses, particularly in the book of Revelation and some of the Old Testament, that dealt with the total defeat and the total failure of the devil and his eternal damnation in the lake of fire. Amen. Now, just this past Sunday, we looked at these verses again, and we talked about how this temptation comes to God's children. And we'll touch on that again, Lord willing, tonight. But this comes to all of us. If God had one son, one only begotten son, and he was tempted, likewise we can expect, being the children of God, will be tempted. Amen. We pointed out Christ's rejection to the offer that was made by Satan. We looked at the scripture that Christ quoted as a shield of faith and as a sword of the Spirit. Amen. He quenched all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Then this past Sunday night we thought on the thought about the doctrine and the defense of worshiping God only. No other person will you worship. No other God will you worship. There's a doctrine there, but there's also a defense that if you make that purpose, I said it this way, that is the true purpose-driven life. If you set your purpose in life that you are not going to bow to anything else, that answers a lot of other questions down the road. Amen. You don't have to necessarily choose which way to go then. The choice is already made. Amen. And so we can see that very easily. Well, I'm glad that our Lord, by using the sword of God, the sword of the Spirit, He totally, completely defeated the devil. He laid that old dragon in the dust. Amen. With the sword of God, amen, the word of God. And I'm glad we're serving a victorious Savior, amen. Our Lord was not nearly beaten in the wilderness. Our Lord was totally unscathed in the wilderness. That's why our Lord could say in John, there towards the closing of His life, heading to Calvary, our Lord could say that the devil, the prince of this world, is come. And He said this phrase, "But he hath nothing in me," amen. The devil had nothing on our Lord, amen. He had no hook in him. He had no pulling on him, thank God. Amen. Our Lord's totally victorious, and our Savior then is totally sinless. That's what you got to have for a Savior, is a sinless sacrifice. Amen. And so I'm glad our Lord was willing to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I'm glad our Lord was willing to be tempted in all points like as we are. And yet He came forth victorious, yet without sin. Amen. Now today I want to look at this last verses of our chosen text and briefly think about what I call the devil's temporary departure. I've got 3 points that I want to bring out to us today, and we'll look in Matthew. We'll also be looking in Luke's gospel as well. First of all, the first point is here, right here in Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 10. I'll say this, he departed. Well, look at verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him. When did the devil leave him? Look at verse 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan." The Lord said, "Leave." Then the devil left. That's just, he left. This is my point. He departed on command. Amen. He departed on command. Our Lord Jesus got in the last word. Amen. Amen. There's an old saying that he who laughs last, laughs loudest. Our Lord's going to get the last laugh in all this. Amen. And our Lord got in the last word. The devil made an offer. Christ rejected it. And when Christ said get, the devil had to get. Amen. Amen. He had to get packing. The devil departed without a quarreling word. The devil wasn't able to reply back. I believe that that shows us the power of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The power of the Word of God. When Jesus said, go, devils had to flee. Amen. When He never met a devil. Listen, there was devils that the disciples couldn't cast out, but there's never a devil Jesus couldn't cast out. I like to say it, Jesus never met a devil He couldn't handle. Amen. Amen. When Jesus said, get out, the devils have to flee at His Word. Amen. They shut their mouths and pack their bags and get out, thank God. Amen. You say, but what about my loved one? They're in this sin. They've got this devil. They've got this problem. Listen, when Jesus says, get out, the devils have to flee. Amen. I believe there's salvation for whosoever will. I believe there's power in God to save to the uttermost them that'll come to God by Him. I do believe that. Amen. So they have to shut their mouths and they have to flee. Well, that's what the devil did. Exactly on command. Now you think about this. This was the termination of this great and vitally important conflict. This conflict in the wilderness. The beginning of our Lord's public ministry. This is the beginning of... I don't believe this is where Satan bruised the heel of our Savior. I don't think our Savior was even bruised in this battle. He bruised His heel on Calvary. Amen. He bruised His heel on Calvary. But at this point, Satan felt the knocks, amen, the hard knocks, amen, of some good jabs with the sword. He felt that and knew that his end was nigh, amen, and that Jesus Christ was going to actually crush his head on Calvary. Amen. But our Lord left this battlefield unscathed, but Satan didn't. Amen. I believe Satan left this field of battle in utter discomfort. Amen. He was totally defeated on that day. Amen. And this defeat no doubt bruised his head to some degree. Amen. And compelled him then to lay down his weapons in shame. Amen. It happened just like God said that it would. I alluded to it already, Genesis 3:15. God said, and I will put enmity between me and between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I imagine as Satan leaves that he slinks away into the shadows. He's not strutting. When Satan appeared before God in the book of Job, it appears he's strutting. God says, where you been? He says, I've been walking to and fro in the earth. It's all, I believe he's saying, I'm going where I want to go, and I'm doing what I want to do. I'm my own man. Nobody tells me what to do. I'm a rebel, and I do what I want to do. And of course, God said, I haven't seen you down on Job's property lately. Amen. And got to show him he wasn't as mighty as he thought he was. But this day, when he left this battlefield in the wilderness, the devil was not strutting. Amen. The devil was not walking with his head up high. No, he's wounded and he's got his head bowed low. He has been bested in this spiritual arena. Amen. He had found that he could not inflict a single wound on our Lord. Amen. He could not inflict a single wound upon our Lord. Amen. Our Lord was totally unblemished. Our Lord was totally unspotted with this world and its sinful desires. And so we notice in verse 11 that after the devil leaves, the Bible says, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I want to just, as a side note, say something about that. I'm still in this thought about the devil left on command. But it looks like that when when Satan departed, that the holy angels from glory descended down to pay homage and to give worship and to minister to the mighty conqueror of the dragon. Amen. I imagine, and I read this, as a matter of fact, I just found yesterday on the internet, I found a book written by William Cowper. I looked it up to see, and according to the computer, the proper pronunciation is Cooper. I knew some people called him Cooper. It was we call him William Cowper that wrote There Is a Fountain. He wrote a book in 1612 on the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. Actually, the whole book is it's called Three Treaties on the Life of Our Lord. Deals with His birth, His baptism, and His temptation. And there's 147 pages, I believe, on His temptation. I started reading that, and Cooper makes this statement about our Lord in that, or about this situation of these angels coming to minister unto the Lord. He said it was as if, he said, I don't imagine it to be wrong to say that as David and Goliath fought down in the valley, and on one mountain stood the Philistines watching their champion, and on the other mountain stood the Israelites wondering if their champion was going to be able to win this battle or not. Amen. But God gave them the victory down in the valley. Here in the wilderness, he said, men might not have been watching. Men might not have known about it. But you know the devils knew, and you know the angels of glory knew. And when they saw their champion had won the battle, they rushed in, amen, in victory. Amen. I believe that's right. I do believe that's right. They rushed in victory to pay homage to their great champion who had so utterly vanquished the enemy of the souls of men. Amen. And amen. Well, let me find my place in my notes again. Our Lord was delivered out of the presence of the evil one and immediately ushered in the presence of holy ones. Amen. Ushered in the presence of holy angels. Doesn't that make you long for that day when the battle's over? Amen. Amen. There's a song we sing sometimes, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Amen. Listen, we're fighting today. There's battles to be fought. I'm talking about fight our own flesh, fight against the devil, fight against the world. But one of these days, the flesh, the world, and the devil will be gone. Amen. And then the battle will be over, thank God. And we'll be in the presence of the Holy One. Amen. And holy ones. Amen. No more devil. Amen. Amen. Well, look forward to that day. Well, these angels, I believe, probably were standing at attention, observing that great battle going on in the wilderness. They saw the battle on the pinnacle of the temple. They saw the battle on that exceeding high mountain. They had not joined in the fray because our Lord would whip Satan single-handedly. Amen. It's as if he'd say, I got this, fellas. David said it this way when David went to fight Goliath. He said to Saul, he said, let no man's heart fail him for fear. Thy servant will face this giant in the battle. Amen. Thy servant. And here's what he said. Saul said, you're not able to do this. David said, listen, there's a lion and a bear came out against thy servant in the wilderness, and thy servant slew them. And he said, that lion, he said, I took him by the beard. Amen. And slew him. Smote him. Amen. That's a pretty mighty man. Pretty mighty man. Well, I imagine hearing this, the devil thought that he was going to lay hands on our Lord, but the devil found out he didn't have no ability to lay hands on our Lord. Our Lord had the ability to lay hands on him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so our Lord defeated the dragon barehandedly. Jesus needed no angelic powers to deliver the victory into his hand. Amen. But immediately upon this victory and the presence being allowed, now they rush in to visibly aid him and be by his side. Amen. Now, I put this note in here because there's probably been times we've been in the battle, and if the angels were standing around, we would welcome their help.
Yes, sir.
Right? Probably been times that you think you need, or at least would surely welcome some angelic aid. Amen. But God knows best. God knows when to tell them, let this alone. Let him fight with that a little while. Let him wrestle with that a little while.
Right.
Amen. Sometimes God might just be allowing us to face our devils by ourselves, holding back the angels momentarily, that we might learn how mighty is our sword, how mighty is our shield. Amen. How mighty are the things of God, the gifts of God, and the Spirit of God that is in us. God might just let us see the power and the effectiveness of the weapons that He has given us. Amen. Amen. Well, then, when we end this particular round of fighting, as our Lord did, God might then allow the angels to step in and give us comfort and aid, which we actually do need. Amen. Amen. Notice this in this verse number 11 again. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, look at this, angels. That's plural. Surely if all our Lord needed was some bread, I mean, if that's all they did, if they fed him, he's hungry. If they fed him, one angel could have handled that. Amen. A solitary angel could have ministered to our Lord's needs. They didn't have to bind him up. They didn't have to patch him up. Amen. They didn't have to bandage him up. He was not defeated. He was victor. But although one solitary angel could have done the job, a plurality of angels, a multiplicity of angels came to his side. Amen. Why is that? I believe out of concern. I believe all the hosts of heaven was concerned what was going on that battlefield. Amen. All the hosts of heaven was concerned about what's going on that battlefield. And let me just plug that right here. What's going on in this auditorium is the most important thing going on in Madisonville at this moment. Amen. Sometimes if we're not careful, we'll get caught up with something and maybe you go to the bathroom and you stay longer than you ought to stay. What's important is going on in here, not in there. Amen. Maybe you take a child out and you spend a little extra time lollygagging. That's the word we use. Listen, what's important is going on in here. Amen. Amen. So I'm just saying, the angel, all the hosts of heaven were alert at what was happening on that battlefield. Not that they was afraid Christ was going to be defeated. They were standing in awe that Michael would go against the dragon. Amen. They were standing in awe that God's own Son would face the enemy of the souls of men. Amen. And as they watched that, and he won, as I said, I believe their concern showed in the fact that they all showed up and their reverence. This is their king. Amen. He's not just the king of Israel. Amen. Not just the king of the Jews. He's the king of glory. Amen. He's the king of angels. He's the king of all kings. Amen. And so they reverenced him. No doubt they came down to congratulate him on his success. No doubt they came to rejoice with him. Amen. And to give him the glory that is due his holy name. Amen. Sometimes I put this other note here that I believe is important for us. I'm glad to report that although we may face some terrible battles with the forces of evil, and those forces of evil are ever present to work against us, yet we can rejoice to know that the spiritual forces of good are also present. You know, there's been all kinds of little cartoons and comedic things made of an angel on your shoulder, maybe an angel here and a devil on this shoulder. I don't think that's necessarily right, but I'll say this. There are devils, there are evil agents present, and there are holy angels present. Amen. Just as surely as the devil and his fallen angels attack the church and the saints of God, we also have the blessing of Christ and His elect angels, as we might say, that are guarding and giving aid to God's people. Amen. Psalm 34, verse number 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and deliver them. Amen. Amen. You remember the case when Elijah, the enemy came and surrounded Elijah. It was Elisha. And his servant said, no, what are we going to do? He said, Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes that he can see there's more for us than they are against us. Amen. And he saw all around about them the angels of God. Amen. Chariots of fire. Listen, he got to see in the spirit world. Amen. I'm glad God's angels are still very active. Now, I'm not saying you need to bow down to angels, worship angels. That is idolatry. And I'm glad God does have some angels that help His children. Amen. One more point I want to make about that before I move on this. I'm talking about He departed at command. But I'm dealing with this thing about the angels came immediately when Satan left. I want you to notice there's a word in this, verse number 11. A word of importance. Then the devil leaveth him, and that next word, behold. The word behold, we might say it as a word of amazement. It's also a word of attention. It's a word of authority. Amen. Amen. It's a word of authority. He's saying this is an important truth right here. It's an important truth. Amen. The devil, Satan, would have us believe that when we shut the door to his temptations, then we have just shut the door to all our pleasures. We've just shut the door to all our benefits. We've just shut the door to all our happiness. I'm telling you, no. As soon as you shut the door on the devil, God opens the door of glory. God opens the door of good. God opens the door of blessing. Amen. When you shut the door on Satan, the devil will tell you when you say no to his things, you've just missed out Well, you've missed out on all the bad stuff. Amen. But God's able to make sure that you don't miss out, amen, on the blessings of God. Amen. And so we'll find that when we shut the door on the devil, God may very well open the door to let some angels come. Amen. Some blessings come our way. Amen. Amen. Well, and by the way, those angels remind you of the things you would have missed. Things you would have missed out if you'd have obeyed the devil and gone his way. Now, it should not be imagined that Christ was so weakened that he needed angels' help in order to overcome or in order to resuscitate. Oh, no. This was written for our admonition. Joshua touched on that this morning. This was written for our learning. This was written that we can see that when we shut the door on the devil, when we tell the devil to flee, we can be blessed in return for that. Amen. So he departed on command. And by the way, I believe it do us good sometimes to say, get out of here, devil. I ain't listening to you no more. You're lying to me, devil. I'm not going to listen to that lie anymore. Amen. Get away from me. Number two, not only he departed on command, but he departed at completion. Luke chapter number 4 gives us the same story of the temptation. And when I say story, I don't mean it as a make-believe. That's how a lot of times we believe or how we seem to use. Luke, I've showed you again and again. We've gone back and forth and looked at it. Luke looks at things a little differently. Not that it's a different occasion. I believe it's the same occasion. Not that it's a different, that there's some error in it. Not at all. But it's that it's just when you have two witnesses, one sees a little bit more or a little bit different aspect than others do. And Luke does as well. Look what Luke says in verse number 13 of chapter 4. And he says, "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." And when the devil had ended all the temptation. When the devil had spent all his arrows. Amen. When the devil had run out of ammunition. Amen. He had to leave. Amen. According to Luke's account, we find and learn that the devil had ended all the temptation. Again, that does not mean he's totally collapsed. Does not mean that he's quit, as we'll see from the next point. But it speaks here that he's tried his very best, and he has been bested. Amen. Amen. He has nowhere else to ratchet it up. I've talked about that. He sent in his imps, I believe, and they couldn't do it, so he comes personally. He tries it in the wilderness. That didn't do it, so he moves to the temple. That don't do it, so he moves to the high mountain. Nothing that the devil has worked against our Lord. Amen. And so he has nowhere else to turn. He has no way to what's he going to offer more than the kingdoms of the world? Amen. What's he going to offer to him? And so he sees that Christ had rejected his every offer. Christ had rejected his best offers. Therefore he withdrew for a while. Now, here's how the devil works. You know it. And that'll be my final point. But if you say no to the devil today, he'll probably be back tomorrow. Or later on today. Amen. He'll probably be back. Christ had faced all the fiery darts of the wicked one in this encounter in the wilderness. Amen. He was offered everything that Satan had to offer. He was tempted in all points. We go back to that, Hebrews 4:15. Right. He was tempted, and underline that, he was tempted in all points, like as we are. The devil probably has not thrown everything he has against you or I or any human being since Christ. Amen. He hasn't needed to. Little things work most of the time. Amen. Right. In the case of our Lord, nothing worked. Amen. Satan had emptied his quiver of temptation arrows, if I could say it that way. He had expended himself and his arsenal upon the Son of God in the wilderness. Therefore, he withdrew momentarily. Amen. I'm glad that our Lord Jesus faced everything the devil had to offer. He faced everything the devil could throw at him. That gives me confidence that the devil's not going to come up with something that Christ ain't already got the power to overcome. I know we say sometimes, and it is true, the way we look at it, but if we're not careful, we'll overdo it. We say, you know, these young people face things we never faced. That's true. We didn't have internet when we was growing up. Didn't even have a computer. Most of us was growing up. Some of you didn't even have electricity. Man, that goes back. But I'm glad you can remember that if you can. Amen. I didn't mean that funny. But anyway, but I'm saying times have changed, but the devil's ploys ain't changed. The devil's ploys have not changed. He still, his goal is to get us in rebellion against God. His goal is always when God says, thou shalt not, his goal is always say, now, come on now, just a little bit's not going to hurt. You can try it one time. That's what he always does. When the Lord says, thou shalt, the devil says, you know, you don't have to do that. You don't have to be such a stickler, such an old fuddy-duddy. Amen. And he goes on along and says, you know, you don't have to. His goals or his weapons have always been the same. Jesus faced every weapon the devil has. You and I can face his weapons with confidence that our Lord can give us the victory. Amen. He withstood every evil and he can forgive every sin. Amen. He can give us victory over any sin. I do believe that. Amen. He departed at command. He departed upon completion. And number three, his departure was temporary. I tried to find a C word for temporary, but I couldn't find anything that fit. I looked at the thesaurus, and it had one, and I forgot now what it was, but it just did not seem to fit. Here's what Luke said. You see it at the end of verse number 13 of Luke 4. And when the devil had ended all his temptation, here's the phrase, he departed from him for a season. Yep, Satan departed from our Lord, and yet this cessation from strife was not the end of all battles. It was only a short respite. Amen. Amen. Luke tells us it was only for a season. Surely it was not long before the devil would be back again, making another play upon our Lord, making another attempt to come upon him. I don't think that he necessarily appeared as the devil. I'm not sure how he appeared all those times. I personally think that each one of those different places might have had a different appearance. The devil's a master of disguise. He's the first Hollywood actor there ever was. And the rest of them are just a lot like him. The old apple hasn't fallen far from the tree, as they say. Amen. But the devil was a great actor, and I believe he put on all these different faces. Sometimes I believe the devil tempted our Lord like a Pharisee. Sometimes he tempted him like a friend. He may even tempt him like a family member. When his mother said, you ought to do this, and Jesus said, the time's not right. Amen. When Mary, the mother of John and James, came to our Lord and said, would you let my son sit on the right hand? I believe our Lord didn't rebuke her, but I don't believe that was necessarily a good thing, saying, I want my boys to sit right next to you and be the best. I want our family name to be represented right there on the top. No, that was sort of devilish. Sometimes the devil will come back at you in the form of different ones. Amen. Like I said, it might look like a foe, or it might look like a friend, or it might even look like a family member. Amen. But the devil would come back. Maybe a scribe, maybe a lawyer, but he'd be tempting and aiming those fiery darts back at our Lord as often as he could. But finally there on that old rugged cross, amen, Christ openly defeated the devil. When Christ willingly took the place of a cursed man and died on that cursed tree, Satan's head was totally crushed and he was openly defeated. Amen. Let me say this about you and I. We best not expect that we're going to totally defeat the devil until we get through with our cross. The cross is going to have to be laid on our back. We're going to have to live our cross. We're going to have to carry it to the end. And then at the end, we can finally have deliverance. Amen. Amen. Days of repose and rejoicing will not be often in this world. Don't expect it. God didn't leave us here to have fun. Amen. He left us here to fight a battle. Amen. And it's not that we're winning the victory, it's that He's winning the victory through us. And He's showing Himself strong by taking the weak things of the world and confounding the mighty things of the world. By taking the foolish things of the world and confounding the wise things of the world. God is using our battles, using the fighting that we have to go through. He's using that to prove to the spirit world and to all of heaven and all of hell that He is the victor. That He gets the glory. Amen. But at the end of it, there's a resting place.
Yes, sir.
He said that in Hebrews chapter 4 in verse number 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Amen. Just as long as we walk this pilgrim way, the devil will not allow his sword to rest in the scabbard long. Amen. He will again be hurling those darts. He'll again be as a roaring lion who ceases not to go about seeking whom he may devour. Amen. He's going to stay active trying to catch us off guard in a weak moment. Amen. Although he may cease to triumph over us, he might win a victory, yet he will not stop his attempts to triumph. Amen. He will not allow his wrath toward us to cool. He will continually assault us. He will continually exert his hatred and his scorn. He will continually be an enemy and an adversary. I'm saying this. Don't ever think I've got this thing whooped now. I've got the flesh defeated. I've got the world defeated. I've got Satan defeated. Sin is defeated. I've been a Christian so long that I don't have to worry about those things, friend. When you start thinking of that, you're in danger. Amen. But on the other hand, don't ever think, you know, I can't ever come out victorious. There's no way we can win this. Oh, yes, there is a way we can win this.
Amen.
But it's not in our power. And it's not so we can boast. Amen. We can boast in nothing but Jesus' blood and His righteousness. Amen. That's right. Well, I'm glad the enemy, although he won't stay gone from us forever, while we're in this world, we're going to have battles. But there are sometimes God will give us some breathing room, as He did our Lord at this point. Sometimes there'll be a time, as I said, of respite. Amen. He'll grant us a little space of grace where we can be strengthened that we might face the next round. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful." Amen. "Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." Amen. And then we can say, the harder the battle, the sweeter the victory. Amen. Amen. Satan's going to continue to harass us, but we need not fear. We can say what the Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He said it again in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." Amen. God gives us the victory. Now let me touch this before I close. There may be defeats on our battlefield. It's not because Christ wasn't able. It's because we didn't lean on Him.
Right.
Or we didn't turn to Him. Amen. I believe that the shield of faith, Paul said in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, that shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. But you and I have seen friends that we believe are saved,
yes, sir,
that didn't manage to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Some fiery darts got through. Amen. Some fiery darts got through. Did God fail? No. I'd have to say our friends failed. And we can't fuss at them too much because we may very well fail. I'm saying there will be days on the battlefield when you take some hits. There'll be some days on the battlefield when you will receive some wounds. Amen. But in spite of all that, always remember, if you'll turn back to Christ, He gives us the victory. The victory is in Him. It is not in us. We saw what Christ did. What did Christ do? When the devil came roaring, when the devil came with his offers, what did He do? Christ submitted Himself unto God. When the devil said, "You're hungry. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Just say the word if you're really who you say you are. And you can find food." And Christ said in so many words, He said, "I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to my Father. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I'm going to trust my Father. I'm going to submit my way to Him." Amen. And when He submitted Himself to the Father, then He was able to resist the devil. And what happened? The devil had to flee from Him. And we have the very same promise. James 4:7. "Submit thyself also unto God. Resist the devil. And he will flee from thee." Amen. From you. Amen. Amen. The devil still comes to the battlefield. But ultimately he is defeated. Amen. Victory has already been won. Amen. Christ won the battle in the temptation in the wilderness. He won that victory not just for Himself, but He won it for you and I. Amen. But here's the sad thing. So many people today are not living victorious. Many of them don't even think it's a real battle. Some of them think it's all imaginary. The devil has deluded them. The devil has deceived them. There's a lot of people don't realize there's anything to be in battle about. All they're here for is fun. They can make enough money to get high enough to enjoy the weekend. Amen. Or run off somewhere and spend some time somewhere and enjoy the weekend. Or what? I mean, it's all about entertainment. It's all about excitement. It's all about amusement. The world we're living in. Somebody needs to go and remind them there's a battle going on. And if you don't have a shield of faith, and you don't have the sword of the Spirit, you're going to be a casualty. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. I want to ask you, are you saved? Are you saved? Are you trusting God? Maybe you're saved and the battle's been hot and the devil has really been hard on you and you'd like to come pray. There is victory in our Lord. There is victory in our Lord. You can find help if you'll run to Jesus. Father, I thank You for the Word of God. I thank You, Lord, for the truths of God's Word that we've been preaching. And Lord, we live it from time to time. I thank You, dear God, that we know it by fact and we know it by faith that there is victory in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I pray if there's somebody here this evening or this morning that's not saved, they've never been saved. Lord, I pray You draw them and bring them to trust in Christ and Him alone. Father, if there's folks here saved and they've been wounded, I pray You'd help them come get some help from the hand of God. Lord, would You strengthen them and help them in this hour? We'll thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, the Lord spoke to you. You'd like to come around the altar. We want to give you opportunity to do that. Some's already